Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
I want to have a relationship that's very intimate, but yet surprising and mysterious, kind of, you know? A little unpredictable.
Gracie is 12 and homeschooled, which means she's not around boys her age too often. But that hasn't stopped her from fantasizing about having her first love.
Ever since I was younger, I've always wanted to marry a Maharaja. I don't know why, it's just a fascination of mine. And I'd look for someone who was kind and compassionate and who really put me before anyone else.
And Leah, who's 11, may not dream of marrying an Indian prince, aka a Maharaja. But that doesn't mean she believes any less in the majesty of first relationships.
We've been a couple for 2 months on Saturday. He asked me out, and then I told him I liked him. I think he's really cute, and I guess he just makes a bad day better. We haven't kissed, because I'm not really allowed to, but we were gonna, and then he was like, no, I don't want to. I was like, okay. I don't want to get in trouble either. We don't really hold hands. Like, we think we're gonna soon, but we're not. He's not, sure, because his friends are still kind of weird about it. It would be nice if I dated him forever, because then I'd really know him well.
At the wise old age of 13, Merrick's not so convinced your first relationship ought to be your last.
My thing is, if you're in middle school and you're dating someone, you always think, oh my God, we're gonna be together forever. Like, we're in each other's Instagram bios, so it's like set.
I mean, my grandparents met in high school and they got married. But I feel like if you marry the person you date in middle school, that's kind of like settling for the first person like you find. I'm not saying you've peaked, but I'm not saying you haven't peaked.
And Flynn, who only recently experienced his first love, couldn't agree more.
We broke up because she said she wanted more time with her friends. I mean, it sucks, but I don't think she, broke my heart. Like, I didn't cry about it. I don't know. I feel like relationships suck because girls are very expensive, and it's almost, 99.99% sure you're gonna end. Like, you're not gonna marry someone that you're dating in high school, probably. I mean, I guess if she wanted to get back together later, I wouldn't be, opposed to it, but...
Of course, no matter how much we thought about our first love, there's a few questions that we rarely considered in advance. Like, what am I going to be like in a relationship? Who is relationship me? And what are my real needs? Unless, of course, you're Merrick.
You have to be politically informed because I'm going to have those conversations with you. I mean, I'd like you to be informed on the teachings of Neil deGrasse Tyson, but... if you aren't, just pretend like you care. Just pretend like you care. I'll give you a briefer history of time. To be honest with you, I feel like everyone's gonna be like, oh, I'd be like so great. Like, I'm such a good girlfriend and I'm so pretty. And yeah. But I feel like I would be a tough girlfriend to have. And good luck to you, James McAvoy. Good luck.
From PureX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, tales of our very first loves, the lofty expectations, and all the ways it screwed with our head.
I should have had some more girlfriend experiences in my life at that point. I hadn't even really asked girlfriends out. I think it seemed like this insurmountable task. I was 16. I mean, I could even drive, and I actually had not had a real first kiss yet at this point.
So when Scott was presented with an opportunity to finally have his first relationship, he didn't hesitate. He probably should have, but he didn't.
I had a crush on the most popular girl in school, but I had no chance of getting her. So what happened was I ended up going for the first girl that showed me any attention whatsoever. Some of you might refer to this as a starter girlfriend. Again, no girl even talked to me yet. This was kind of the first. It was a friendship first. And I think I was willing to overlook the fact that we had no attraction, nothing in common. 9/18/91. Yom Kippur. Well, I didn't eat until after 5. Stacy called at 9 and we talked till 10. We both love Grease 2 and we're scheduled to see it next Saturday. I was thinking about her all day. It's weird. I want to spend every second with her, but I don't want to have sex with her or see her naked. I don't know if I just want to be friends, if I don't find her attractive or what. Monday, 10/20. Oh God, Stacy is really, I think about her 90% of the time. Things are pretty intense. She talked about me and her going on cruises till we're 70. She's coming over Friday. I have to clean up. Friday, 10/25. Important day in history. Yes, it's true. I asked Stacy out and she said yes.
Thank you. When our relationship finally started, I was all in. I mean, I proposed to her on one knee that we date way before we even kissed. I think I had a toy ring and I got down on one knee and said, will you go out with me? And she said, yes.
Well, let's recap. She came home with me on the bus. We walked the dog and wrestled and stuff. My mom came home and made us English muffin pizzas as we watched Heathers. That's a perfect 80s date. Both of us were lying on one couch hugging. I think I should sleep now. I feel kind of sick. Maybe it's love. Saturday, 10/26. Ah, married life. I went to Stacy's and brought Grease 2, Outsiders, and some Chicken Littles. We had fun. I tried to kiss her once, and it didn't work. I don't know if I kissed her on her cheek or her nose. It was kind of embarrassing, but I just laughed and said I slipped. I can't believe we haven't kissed yet. It's so nice, though, lying down, having her on top of me. Yeah. Sunday, 10/27. Second day anniversary. Before, I was thinking that I didn't want to be going out with Stacy. Responsibilities and crap, you know? But I know now that I definitely am glad. Saturday, 11/2. Important day in history. I French kissed Stacy! Finally! We watched Nightmare on Elm Street and Saturday Night Live, and then after that, I Frenched her. It was only for like 7 or 8 seconds. Our teeth kept crashing. Thursday, 11/7. Oh, I love Stacy. I mean, there are certain things which I hate about her. Her refusal to see Star Wars, Batman, and other cool movies. Her hatred for cheese. But I just love her. Monday, 11/14. I thought I'd go a day without seeing Stacy, but I was wrong. We watched Coming to America. We kissed quite a few times, and I think I'm really good at it now. But I've been thinking, though, do I want to go out with this girl for the rest of my high school career? She has no interest in sex or drinking. And by the way, let me preface that I had not done either of those. But I can't break up with her. I'm really glad I'm going out with her. I'm looking too far ahead. I'm only 16. Chill. 11/15/91. Hey, I'm worried. I owe so much to so many tape clubs. If you're a millennial, you don't know about the Columbia House. Eight CDs for one penny. But I'm not the only one who probably owes money on that. Wednesday, 11:18. I just got off the phone with Stacy, and I'm kind of troubled. We just had our first fight. She was watching the news, and some twin babies died. You guys are laughing already. You're sick people. She just said to hold on while she watched it, and she told me that she's so depressed now. I was like, so? Do you know how many babies die a day? Do you know what else happens in the world? And then I asked if she felt sorry for all the guys that died in Nam. She was shocked. She was like, you're so insensitive. How can you kid about death? I don't know about her, but I don't take death very seriously, and I don't think anyone should. After all, if she can't take a joke, I'm getting too far ahead of myself. I'm just worrying about the relationship. I could never break up with her. Maybe this just showed me that our relationship isn't perfect and hunky-dory. Still, she's one of those people who's really hooked on babies, and I'm not. All I said was that the parents shouldn't have gotten upset because they didn't know the baby too long. And I will tell you guys this, when you read an entry like this after you actually have kids, it really makes you realize what a douchebag you are. So there's that. It would have been worse had it been a 16-year-old. I'm probably overdoing it. I'm too sensitive. That's my problem. Oh well, gots to go.
With my maturity level that time, I think after that fight, I was like, well, this is over. After, you know, 1.5 months, the novelty or the concept that I was actually dating someone was no longer new and exciting, and that was wearing off. At the beginning, all I saw were the similarities, and now in month two, I'm just seeing the differences. And so here I am already trying to pick apart the relationship. I don't know if having divorced parents was led up to that, if that, you know, is an influence. It might be. But also, I don't think it's expected of, you know, 16-year-olds to, like, work too hard on their relationships yet. I don't think 16-year-olds will often go to couple therapy or anything like that. But the thing that's even more embarrassing was what an ass I turned into in the later parts of that.
Thursday, 11:22. I'm concerned about Stacy. Stacy's all pissed, and she's been getting like that a lot lately. She just gets angry, and she can't get rid of the anger. I think she needs a psychiatrist. Well, I mean, everyone does. Andrew, Eric, Don, too. Especially Evan. Everyone but me. Well, I really have to rethink dumping her. I basically know that this won't be a permanent relationship. I don't think we'll get married is what I mean, because we have too many differences. Oh well, nature calls. Thank you, guys.
I can tell you that the breakup with Stacy was horrendous. I was dropping her off. I knew I was gonna do it. We were in the car, we just had a date, and we're just sitting in the driveway, and finally, as she's about to go out the door, I bring it up, and it's full of every cliche imaginable. I used all of them. It's not you, it's me. I wanna be friends. I think I need some space. I don't know what's wrong with me. Putting it all on me, and she was crying. I felt horrible that I hurt her. Seeing her cry like that almost made me want to just say, okay, well, let's get back together. I guess having a starter girlfriend was effective in that all of my awkwardness, the concept of not knowing what to do in a relationship, I got out of the way with her. I think childhood and teenage love is actually kind of precious in that it's really powerful. I don't know, that should be really enjoyed and explored, and to feel all that love and passion and pain and hurt. And in retrospect, that's all kind of great. So I think, you know, at that time, that you'll have a better experience if you chase after someone that you're actually in love with. It's okay if they don't like Batman or cheese or Star Wars. Well, I'm not sure about Star Wars.
If Scott Lifton's high school journal teaches us anything, it's that it's very easy to become jaded about relationships, especially when your partner doesn't share your affinity for Star Wars. However, when Coretta Jacobson Milan was 16, she was anything but jaded, thanks to another epic film.
I'd just seen, like, Moulin Rouge. So I had this, you know, this very visually appealing pictures of standing on rooftops and, like, declaring love. I wanted this this ridiculous sensation of being completely in love.
And Coretta didn't just sit back and wait for someone to whisk her off to that magical place. Nope, she was secretly on the prowl.
I liked the chasing part. It was just that it was frustrating because I didn't really know how to do it right, and I didn't know when the chasing would sort of like end.
We first met Coretta at a Mortified show in Trondheim, Norway, and she had so much fun sharing her journals that we asked her to do it again, this time at a Mortified show in Brooklyn, where this was recorded.
Yes! Hello! So my name is Coretta. So, and I am 27 years old. I'm from Oslo. When I was a teenager like this, I had two goals in life. One was to be the one in my class with the highest grades. The second goal was to experience real romantic love. But the thing was, though, that people weren't actually actively seeking me out to be their girlfriend. And neither did I during break time at school. I would usually sit inside and play computer games with my three friends. And when school ended, I would just sit with my three friends and watch them play Dungeons and Dragons. But the end of high school was nearing, and I realized that if I was gonna get like a shot at real love, chances of me getting lucky would probably be highest if I started in my closest social circle. Okay. Sunday. Whoa. I just have to write this down somewhere, get it out, say it, shout it. Whoa. I'm in love, very much in love. And then Stefan in a heart. It's totally weird and very amazingly mega fantastic trillions lovely. I feel a constant suction in my stomach, and it only becomes better now that I've just been at his place. Next Saturday, I'm gonna play the Virgin Mary for a day. Yeehaw! So I was going to play the Virgin Mary in this play in the Freemasons Lodge in Oslo, because Stefan's father is a Freemason. So that's it. I wish Stefan was playing Joseph, because then it would have been so much easier for me to show him that I love him. Ugh. But hello, I'm here and I'm freaking in love with you. Whee! Attention! I hope that we can do something together soon. After all, it's not long before school's over. We have to dance together at the prom, please. I guess I'll have to ask you myself or something. I just have to woman up a bit first. Whoa. Dreamland, dreamland. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ugh, I'm hopeless. Why is love so freaking shitty hard to deal with? Ugh. So. Now that I had agreed with myself that Stefan was the one, everything escalated really quickly. And because I definitely had a lot of love to give, but I didn't really know how to give the love. Sunday, January 23rd, 2005, 7:27 p.m. Today, I've been to the Christmas party with Stefan and the other guys. It was really nice. I totally dig it, hanging out with his gang. Stefan walked me back home. And when we were in the middle of the forest and Stefan scared me. Oh, yeah, forests in Norway, yes. Oh, how I wanted it to be only the two of us. And all of a sudden, we could just be there totally alone in the snow. And then you could just realize how supercalifragilisticexpialidociously much I love you. So Sunday, January 16th, 2005, 12:40 a.m. 'Cause I'm in love with a beautiful boy. He's the one in this magical world. And I hold him now when the rain starts to fall. I'm not afraid to move on. Yes, I am, but I want to so much. Stefan. Je t'aime. I love you.
With my friends and even my parents, I discussed a lot with them and asked them, like, when and how do you know if you are a couple? When or how do you know if someone's in love with you? I felt like I was sending all these really clear signals. And I didn't know if he picked up on them, and I didn't know what he felt about me or the things that I did. Or said. I remember especially I'd written this Valentine's letter, and I had asked one of our mutual friends to give this Valentine's letter to Stefan. So it was sort of obvious that it was from me, but I didn't want to give it myself. And then Stefan received the Valentine's letter, and my friend told me that when he got it, he just sort of opened it and read it, and then he closed it again, and he put it next to his computer, and he continued playing. He just didn't talk or show a lot.
February 22nd, 2005, 12:16 a.m. Seriously. Oh my God, I need something I can scream right into right now. I went to the cinema today and saw National Treasure. Best film ever. Yes. With Carl, Annette and Stefan. And at the movie, everything was just really very nice and cozy. And I was seated next to Stefan and almost. But then in the car on the way back home, then we kissed, goddammit. My very first real kiss. Seriously, I'll probably explode very soon here now. It was totally indescribable. Such a truly wonderful experience. And then I whispered in his ear that I am really, really in love with him. And then he said, me too. Oh! And then again. It was like I wasn't even there in my own body at all. I'm sure that I was somewhere far away in outer space. Or something. It just happened, and it's totally beyond words. Kariette is now officially very much in love with a beautiful boy. I have his yellow thing, though. The plastic cap on his Mountain Dew bottle. Mine. I'm chewing on it right now. Regardless what my mom will say about it not being clean or whatever, there is some tiny residue of Stefan on it, and that's more than enough for me. Yes. I really have to sleep now. Dream about Stefan, I want to. Love you very super mega really much. And now you know it too. And this was actually my very last entry in this diary, like it's completely empty. And after I finished writing, I texted him, and then I asked him in the most casual way possible. Hey, If anyone else asks us what is going on between us, would you say we are a couple now? And then after a short while, he responded, sure, we could do that. And now, almost 12 years later, we're still together.
On our 10-year anniversary, I proposed. I think this is the kind of thing that he finds a bit scary to do. So I think that he's had the idea and wanted to, but it's that it was difficult to sort of find the right time. And then I just, I was impatient, so I did it. Yeah, I did not go down on one knee, but I was almost fainting because I was so nervous. So I just, I held his hands and asked him if he wanted to marry me. I mean, no one tells girls that it's very scary to propose. No one had ever told me that I wouldn't be able to like eat properly or anything for the 2 weeks before proposing. Everyone needs to know that it's very scary to do that. So in a way it's nice to experience that it actually works. It's like the first real experience of love.
And this concludes today's episode, where we learned your first love is tenuous at best, even if you find yourself singing.
How supercalifragilisticexpialidociously much I love you.
Because your partner might be somewhere wondering,
do I want to go out with this girl for the rest of my high school career?
As always, all the childhood writings heard in today's episode are 100% real. No embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And hey, if you find yourself in Norway, check out our shows every few months in Oslo or Trondheim. And make sure to say hello to Coretta, because she's super mega millions lovely fantastic. Share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode. And even if you have no ambition to share your old writings with the world, we encourage everyone out there to find something you created as a kid. Anything. Even stuff that says,
hey, I'm worried. I owe so much to so many tape clubs.
And share it with just one friend. It's fun, it's scary, and we promise you'll discover something new about yourself in the conversation that follows. As many of you know, the Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation. If your company would like to support our podcast too, that would be great. Email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Madeline Cohen, Hadley Dion, Shelby El Otmani, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Catcher. Katrina Overlees Vella story produced this for the stage, music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts Studios, the DNA Lounge in San Francisco, Little Fields in Brooklyn, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make this stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you, we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.